Madison, a city known for its open-mindedness. A city of diversity. A city of many voices. This is Outreach, a positive voice for Madison's minority population. Outreach is sponsored by St. Mary's Hospital. To be a part of the program, call 321-1310 or toll free 877-235-1310. Now here's your host, Darrell Connor, on News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com.
Good evening and welcome back to Outreach. News Talk 1310 WIBA, Darrell Connor with you. We have been talking about all things education, school board races. Sarah Mansky dropping out of the school board race that's making T.J. Mertz the winner. We still have other races. Still have other races going on for the school board in April. And try to get some candidates on, too, in the month of March and talk a little about education. But I wanted to bring this back up because, I mean, with everything that's gone on over the past few weeks, starting with the superintendent search, which to me was a bit embarrassing. Now, you have Dr. Jennifer Cheatham and Walter Milton Jr., who were finalists for the Madison Metropolitan School District superintendent's position. Now, the story was Walter Milton Jr. had to drop out, or that he dropped out because Madison wasn't the right fit. What we find out later on is that members of the school board asked Walter Milton to drop out because of the backlash that he received by the community, because anybody with a computer and Google could have just gone up, looked up Walter Milton Jr. and found out a little bit about his background. And there were some controversial things in his background. And I even said when I first saw it that, look, you know, there's controversy everywhere this guy goes. With everything that we've been talking about in this community over the last couple years, with the achievement gap being front and center, I think the last thing we need is for somebody who has the kind of baggage that Milton Jr. has to be a finalist. And that was my opinion. And I think there were a lot of folks who shared that opinion. Nothing against Walter Milton Jr. I'm sure he's a nice guy. But I myself wondered aloud, like, is this the best we can do in terms of finalists? I mean, who screened this? And then we find out that Ray and Associates, the agency that was hired by the school district to do the search, they didn't even look into it. They just pushed this guy forward. I mean, nobody looked into it, evidently, until apparently he brought it up. And then school board members started looking into it, and they heard back from the community, and they told him, hey, I don't think this is a good fit. Now, I wish folks would have been honest about it and said that we told Mr. Milton that it was best that he drop out of the race for the position, or in the process of the position. You know, I wish people would have been more honest and more forthcoming about that. But at the same time, you know, people talk about, you know, not electing people or not bringing people on based on their color. Excuse me. Walter Milton Jr. was a prime example of somebody that I said, look, you can't have this, because what it looks like is, with all the discussions in this community, when this search first started, when you heard from people saying that, look, you got to think outside the box, you got to have a more diverse search, it just makes it look like this guy was pushed forward as a finalist because he fit the diversity bill. Now, I'm not accusing the school board of anything. I'm just saying how it looks. And that's how it looked. And the community rejected it. And rightfully so. And I don't blame him for doing it. Now, that's not Dr. Cheatham's fault in any way. Dr. Cheatham is the superintendent, and we got to get behind her and support her. And that's just it. That's the way it is. But therein lies the issue that I've been talking about. And that is, folks of color in this community, us collectively, we got to get off the sidelines and start getting engaged and getting involved. And not only that, we have to not only support each other, but have more of a collective voice in what goes on in this community. Decisions will continue to happen without our input because we're not there at the table. And the reason why we're not there is because we're not involved enough. There's some of us who are, but there's a lot more of us that can be. That's the only way you're going to start, you can start affecting change. And I'm not saying for all the people out there listening, for all the white people out there listening and saying, I'm trying to say that, you know, we should just start electing people of color just because. That's not what I'm saying at all. But there are plenty of qualified people of color in this community too. And it's time for those people to make their voices heard as well and get involved in the process. That's what I'm saying. And while I agree with what Jose Lopez said in the last hour about this community and how it projects itself to be this diverse, inclusive community when it isn't as nearly as diverse and inclusive as it tries to pretend like it is. And I understand his point because at times it feels like in this community, and I'm just going to come out and say it, sometimes it feels like in this community when you talk to the folks that represent the power structure or have influence in this community, the overwhelming majority of them who are white and liberal, that sometimes you get this feeling that they feel like they know more about what's best for folks of color than folks of color do. And I understand that too. Because I've seen that. That there's this, you know, how dare you question us about how we should, I don't know, teach our kids or how we should educate our children or educate the children in this community. How dare you question us? I've seen that. But at the same time, the time for complaining about it is done. Can't complain about it anymore. It is what it is. And if that's how you feel, if that's what you think is happening, then complaining about it isn't the answer. The answer is getting engaged and getting involved and building a coalition of folks, not just folks of color, but a coalition of people who think the same way you do. That means getting involved in the schools, in the city of Madison, in the community, in the county. That's what it means. Now, not all of us are cut out for politics. I've had a few people that have, you know, when I wrote my column on Channel 3000 last week, had some people ask me, why don't you run for office, Darrell? Why don't you run for school board? Well, I'll say this. I can tell you that if I lived in the Madison city limits and said, hey, I think I'll run for school board, you know what? Honestly, I wouldn't win. At least I don't think I would. I wouldn't win. I'll tell you why I wouldn't win. First of all, because if I ran for school board, and that's what some people had asked me to do, or asked why don't I? If I ran for school board, I wouldn't win because my priorities aren't the same as what you hear from most of these candidates who end up winning. My priority is students and families. They are first. They are 1 and 1A or 1 and 2 on my list. Are teachers in good schools in my top 5? Yes, but they are not first. Teachers and administrators are not first. Unions are not first. That's why I would lose. When I listened to the school board forums, what I heard from people like Sarah Mansky, I heard less about kids and students and how we address some of the issues that we have here, and more of, I don't want private corporations taking over public schools. And it seems like if that's your mantra, if that's your rallying cry, you got a much better chance of winning than somebody who says, I'm for kids and families first. I want to lift all boats. I want to make sure that all of our kids, the white kids that are struggling, the African-American and Latino kids, the kids with disabilities, the kids with special needs, everybody that's struggling, we got to lift all boats. I'm for them and their families first. That doesn't win. It doesn't. It doesn't win in this town. Plus, I don't have those kind of connections. I'm not connected to the unions in this town or some of these little political organizations and committees and stuff in this town. I'm not. And I have chosen not to be. And I've chosen not to pigeonhole myself with a D or an R next to my name either. So there's my 3 strikes. That's why I don't. And, I mean, look, I could be wrong. And this isn't to say that I'm teasing or floating the idea of running for anything. I am not. I'm just telling you, because people have asked me, why I don't. And that's why I don't. I don't believe that my platform is conducive to winning in this community. Because I don't think we put a premium on the achievement gap or for kids in general. And I'll explain why when we come back. Listen, News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Providing a positive voice for the minority community. This is Outreach with Darrell Conner. Outreach is sponsored by St. Mary's Hospital on News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com.
Welcome back. Talking about school board and education, the Greater Madison community. And I was talking about the fact that, you know, when I wrote my column last week and it was entitled Minorities at Fault for Not Being More Involved. And the basic premise was that, you know, we can't complain about how stuff goes down. I mean, this stuff has been happening. This kind of thing has been happening for years now. The time is to become more engaged in what goes on in our community, period. And there, people would ask me, you know, why don't you run for office? And I said, look, my platform is not conducive to winning in this community right now. It isn't. It isn't. And the reason being is because, honestly, the way I see it, I think that you have folks in this community, the United Ways, I talked about at the top of the program, United Ways, the Urban Leagues, the Boys and Girls Clubs, the Madison Urban Ministry. You have 100 Black Men. You have various Latino organizations helping kids. You have teachers in the Madison Metropolitan School District who have done a great job in helping kids individually. You have some pockets of schools here and there that are doing an overall good job. But the fact of the matter is, administratively and politically, we're not serious about the achievement gap. We're not serious about addressing it. And I honestly and truly believe that. We're not serious about it. We're more concerned about Governor Walker and his and you know his speech the other day about voucher schools, about vouchers. That's what I mean. That's what gets people going. They go absolutely nuts. And look, we can talk about the virtues and the dangers of vouchers at another time. It's another discussion for another day. You know, because personally, when I look at vouchers, I say, you know what? Maybe we should do something about the fact that we have an enormously high unemployment rate among African Americans and Latinos in this state, and maybe we ought to address that so we can start getting their families on a road to where their kids can get a quality education too. Maybe we should start with that first. But that's another story for another time. What I'm saying is that we spend all this time and everybody goes nuts and they run to the Capitol and write editorials and people getting on TV and talking about how this is dangerous and look what's happening. And nobody has. These same people don't have the same type of energy and passion about how do we address the achievement gap. It's far down their list. It is the outrage of the moment. And I see it all the time. Stop the charter school bill. Sign this petition. Stop the charter school bill. Look, I don't think charter schools, honestly, I think there are good charter schools and I think there's bad ones. Just like I think public schools. But to me, I want to get to the root of the problem first. I want to get to how do we address the fact that we have kids in this community, in a community like this one, that is not finishing high school, and it's in most cases a one-way ticket to the criminal justice system. How do we turn that around? But yet you can't get these same people on board with that. It's always something else. So no, I don't think we're serious about it. I think a lot of it's lip service. You're going to have to show me. And yeah, we've had some good news about Schools of Hope. We've had some good news about Avid Tops. We've had great news about folks who are involved in trying to address this issue. And they all should be applauded for their efforts. But it's not nearly enough. Sometimes it gets drowned out by the fact that you got these other people that are just so worried about this other stuff without looking at the fact that maybe if we take care of the basics, take care of this issue, we wouldn't have to worry about this other stuff. Wouldn't have to worry about vouchers. Wouldn't have to worry about money going from public schools to charter schools that some people have been talking about. Maybe we have to worry about all of that. If we take care of business. That's what bothers me. That's what bothers me about this whole thing. I mean, there's no sense of urgency whatsoever. I've been waiting for it. I've been waiting for it ever since Madison Prep was voted down. I've been waiting for the sense of urgency from these same people who were so passionately against Madison Prep. And let me tell you something else. Here's my other statement about Madison Prep, and I'll move on from that. I don't think that anybody can convince me of this otherwise. If the folks behind Madison Prep had said from the very beginning, we are committed to using union teachers, we would have not had these types of discussions over the past year and a half. They would have found a way to get this done. And I think everybody knows that. And I think even the people out there, they're saying, oh, no, there were other issues. There were other questions. And as valid as that may be, deep down, you know what I'm saying is absolutely true. It's true. We wouldn't have heard all this. Well, it only serves a certain amount of kids. Didn't stop Badger Rock, did it? I mean, think about that for a minute. if they had been committed to that from the start, we wouldn't have had these kind of discussions. There wouldn't have been this vitriol back and forth. There wouldn't have been people writing hit jobs on people like Kaleem Kerr. That wouldn't have happened. They just said, how can we get it done? That's a fact, y'all. And I'll tell you something else. When I hear people talk about how profiteers are coming and they're trying to privatize the public schools and Governor Walker, this is a money grab and this is about money and power. Hey, man, don't try to fool me into thinking that the other side isn't doing the same thing. If you don't think this is about money and power on both sides, you are kidding yourself. This has always been about money and power. Just like with the teachers union, just like with the unions here in Madison, it's about money and power. One group is using it one way, the other group's using it a different way. But that's what this is about. Because if it weren't, then our kids would be in a better place right now. Money, power, control. So reason number 59, I would never run for office. Because I'd say too much stuff that too many people in this town with influence wouldn't want to hear. But it needs to be said. It needs to be said. I'm not saying anything that other people in this community aren't thinking right now. That's just the bottom line. When we come back, we'll talk more about school board races, the achievement gap, and the overall education outlook in this community. You listen to News Talk 1310 WIBA. We'll be back.
A new voice for the entire community. This is Outreach on News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com. Outreach is sponsored by St. Mary's Hospital.
Welcome back. Outreach, News Talk 1310 WIBA. Talking a little school board, education, in the greater Madison community. Madison in particular. And let me say, congratulations to T.J. Mertz. I mean, unofficially, I mean, he won the seat by virtue of Sarah Mansky dropping out of the race. I will say this. I think that that T.J. Mertz has a lot of knowledge. He is very engaged in school issues. I mean, the guy goes to every board meeting just about. I mean, he's always been engaged in issues involving the Madison Metropolitan School District. And for that, I'll give him credit. Where I differ from TJ and where I've had a problem is I watched his act during the whole Madison Prep debate. And personally, I didn't like it. I didn't like how he and others just absolutely went after guys like Kaleem Kerr about Madison Prep when, to me personally, a lot of that vitriol, and you can tell me that there were valid questions, and I'll believe that because there were some valid questions that I asked about it too. I don't think it was perfect by any stretch of imagination. But I do think it was an incubator in figuring out best practices and figuring out how we begin to wrap our arms around a problem that's plagued this community for years. And I thought the way that he and others went after Kaleem was unfair. and not even adding anything meaningful to the discussion other than I'm against it. Not even adding, okay, then what are your suggestions? How are you going to work with, how do you work with folks in addressing this issue? Didn't get any of that. I saw him go after Michael Johnson, CEO of the Boys and Girls Club, because Michael Johnson brought Paul Vallis to town. You know, and you hear the name Paul Vallis in some circles, it's, oh, education reform advocate. He's bad for public schools. Well, Paul Vallis was a friend of Michael Johnson's and it helped him in his career. And in Michael's point of view, he helped a lot of kids. He brought them to town to have a dialogue, to talk about the achievement gap and how to address it. And I saw guys like Mertz indirectly try to prevent other organizations, namely the Madison Metropolitan School District, from being involved, from using one of their high schools to house the event. I saw him unfairly go after Michael Johnson. Here's a guy who's dedicated his career to working with the very kids that we've been talking about, the very kids that are in peril, and he's getting attacked. So to TJ Mertz, I'll say this, and it's nothing that I wouldn't say to him in his face. You're going to have to show me too. Because in the communities of color, in folks that have been trying to address this issue, we haven't seen you. You may be at every board meeting, and that's commendable. But we haven't seen you around. So you're going to have to bring it too. Put your money where your blogs are. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Dave from Monona. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Hey, don't get nervous. I know you read some of my replies.
No, I didn't, actually.
Oh, on Channel 3000 on your Facebook page?
Oh, you're talking about me. You weren't the only one that asked, why don't I run for office? So
I know.
You weren't the only one that asked it. But, yes, I did read that.
But anyway, hey, where's that Michelle chick from Washington, D.C. when we need somebody to kick some butt? But
who, Michelle Rhee?
Yeah, I liked her style.
Well, yeah, but you know what? She's toxic. You know, she comes to this town, and these folks would go nuts. These very same folks I'm talking about, they'd go absolutely crazy.
Is that what we need?
I don't know.
Someone like her?
I don't know. Well,
stand up to John Matthews or stand up to the
union? Well, here, Dave, here's the thing. You know, we had Jeffrey Canada come to town, and I heard from folks after folks telling me that they don't believe in Jeffrey Canada and his results. Look, and my reply was, look, whether or not you believe in Jeffrey Canada, the fact of the matter is the man went on 126 blocks of Harlem and turned around kids' lives. Until I see you do that, you have no room to talk about anybody.
But again, you keep saying they. It's a few people on the school board. But you know, a couple ideas. You know, the one about the voucher, I like the voucher, and here's why. It's not the solution. Every one of those kids that were going to apply for Madison Prep, every one of those parents now should apply for those vouchers. And guess what? Many of them are going to get a voucher and can get the hell out of the Madison school system. Take advantage of the voucher system in Milwaukee and Madison. Every one of them should apply for that voucher. It's a solution, but it's a start. You talk about Madison Prep and the union jobs. Well, then guess what? The people in charge didn't make them union jobs. That problem is solved. You'd have your Madison Prep.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I think that the Madison Prep, and thank you for the call, Dave, I think the Madison Prep thing is over and done with. And I don't know how I feel about vouchers, honestly. You know, I think a better use of our time is figuring out how we attack the unemployment rate for so many folks of color in this state to get folks back to work so they can be in better positions to make a better life for their families. I think that's where we need to start. But look, I've been on record in saying that part of this issue and one of the keys to addressing this is the fact that we have to have higher expectations for our kids, and we can't keep using the excuse that poverty is the reason why these kids will continue to struggle. That, to me, is not an acceptable answer. And I'll explain why in a few minutes, but let's go back to the phones. Kilton, you're next up. Hello, Kilton. How are you?
Fine, Darrell. So I guess the solution is not to have mild-mannered urban league directors or mild-mannered talk show hosts to run down to a nearby revolving door and then fly out and try to solve the achievement gap that way. Superman.
Okay.
I probably should have been a little more specific, but okay. Sometimes, you know, there is kind of the, you know, there was the thing about people were always talking about the thing called waiting for Superman.
Sure.
And sometimes, you know, you often wonder, do in real life, where things like the achievement gap are found, if they're almost kind of expecting someone like a Superman or a Lone Ranger to come in and save the day, so to speak.
Well, I think that's a good point. And that's why I'm saying that I think that the answer to this is to no longer stand on the sidelines and then get upset when decisions and things happen that affect folks, and because they're not at the table. That you have to change that. That you can no longer sit by and allow that to happen. You have to get engaged. I mean, that's the only way you can begin to turn the tide. The other thing is, I truly believe this, that you have to have people in your life. Teacher, principal, guidance counselor, coach, parent, relative, neighbor, somebody. And it could be that extra person that takes a real interest in a child's well-being, who's genuinely interested and genuinely invested in that child's success. When that happens, when there's kids that know that there's somebody looking out for their well-being, there's no ulterior motive, and that they're genuine in doing so, you'd be surprised how better kids do. I think that's the answer. And I think we've been sitting around and trying to figure out all these clever things to do and all these initiatives and spending millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And I honestly believe that is a huge part of addressing the achievement gap. And to some people, that may sound silly. Okay. But I truly believe that if you have that extra person, you don't have to spend over an abundance amount of time with someone, but just know that there's somebody looking out for them, that genuinely cares about them, that expects them to succeed. That's why I don't buy into the poverty stuff. I believe that poverty is an issue. I'd be a fool to say that it isn't. But you can't cripple kids by telling them, well, you know, Johnny's in a bad way. I mean, Johnny's had a hard time at home, got a rough life. What are we going to do about Johnny? Poor Johnny. You know, just been dealt a bad hand. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying that, but using that as a reason why Johnny can't succeed, you can't plant that stuff in kids' heads. You can't. You will cripple them for life. When we come back, I'll share one last story. It's a Remember the Titans moment of exactly what I'm talking about. You're listening to 1310 WIBA.
This is Outreach with Darrell Connor. Outreach is sponsored by St. Mary's Hospital on News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com.
Let me tell this story real quick, and we'll get back to the phones. We're a few minutes left in the show, but I want to say this. Remember the movie Remember the Titans? It was about a high school in Virginia, true story. It was integrated. It was a coach who had, you know, white coach who had won a couple of state championships, and then the school got integrated. And Denzel Washington, who played coach Boone, is what his name was. He became the head coach because of this forced integration. And so the ex-coach was a part of the staff. He became the defensive coordinator. Well, what happened was Coach Boone was kind of a hard guy. He was hard on everybody. And, you know, trying to integrate this team, I mean, it was a lot of stuff going on. But he was mean to everybody. He was on everybody. And what would happen during the games, though, was, you know, he'd get on one of the black players for fumbling the football or for making a mistake. And the player would be dejected and go on the sidelines. And the defensive coordinator, the white guy, would go and put his arm around the kid and start talking to him. And this would happen all the time. And so one night they're sitting at the dinner table and Coach Boone brings it up and says, listen, what are you trying to do? I go hard at all the white players. You don't say anything. I may be a mean cuss, but I'm that same mean cuss to every single player in this team. Now, you may think you're helping them by going over and putting your arm around them and trying to save them from Big Bad Boone, but you're not helping them. You're crippling them. You're crippling them for life. And that's what I'm talking about when people keep bringing up poverty as a reason why kids aren't excelling. I'm not saying that it isn't an issue, but if you keep hammering away at the fact that it's poverty and if we can only fix this poverty problem, all you're doing, whether you mean to or not, all you're doing is you're crippling kids. That we have to instill in kids that they can make it no matter what their circumstances are. And with that, I will go to the phones. TJ, you're next up. Hello, TJ. How are you? Hello, TJ. TJ, are you there? Well, we seem to have lost TJ. Sorry about that. But that's it in a nutshell. I mean, we can't cripple kids for life. That to me is a huge part of this achievement of addressing the achievement gap. Having people, whether it's a teacher, a parent, a relative, a coach, a business leader, somebody who is genuinely interested in the well-being and the success of a young man or a young woman. That's what it comes down to. Now we have TJ back, so we'll give TJ the last word. Hello, TJ, how are you?
I'm great. Mr. Kerr has been trying to say that and starting that new school, exactly what you're saying, and it makes way too much sense. This is not patronizing toward you, but what you're saying is so much the truth that this is kind of scary, and you're not going to like this comment, but you're saying the same thing that Rush Limbaugh says, but you're saying it in a different way. You're not as brash. You're not as harsh. You're not as crass. You are saying the same thing that he says. You are more conservative, and I think a lot of what you say is more conservative than people might think. And I think that's good. It's refreshing to hear it said in another way.
Thank you for the call, TJ. I'm sorry, we were out of time. That's the first time I've ever been compared to Rush Limbaugh. So I don't even know what to say to that. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. We will see you next week. Have a great week, everybody. Take care.